Right, that, yeah, definitely one for the album. When taking photographs, of course, it is vitally important that the person you are taking the photograph of is the focus of your camera. Very silly of me to have the selfie setting on, or not to check that I didn't have the selfie setting on. Sometimes we can forget what is important and our focus can be on the wrong thing. It is important that our focus is on the right things, that we give our attention to these things, because at the end of the day, if we give our attention elsewhere, well, it's not perhaps the best outcome. And that's what our Bible lesson is going to teach us today.
This reading is taken from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, which can be found on page 1042 of the Pew Bibles. At the home of Martha and Mary, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of Christ.
Let's just pray as we begin. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of your holy word. Please open our hearts and minds to what you have to teach us through it this morning, so that it is a lantern to our feet, a light upon our paths, and a strength to our lives. Amen. Mary sat down near Jesus' feet and listened to what he said. It's a very simple phrase. You might think it was throwaway, but do you actually realize how controversial and unsettling that would have been to those who read it or listened to it for the first time? Sitting down at the master's feet was something that any disciple in the ancient world would do, because that was the position that students and masters took, to sit at the master's feet. But in Jewish society, disciples were always male, men, boys. In fact, according to rabbinic law, a woman could not be a disciple. Neither could she be a follower of any great rabbi. And a great rabbi is most certainly what Jesus is. So with her very simple action, Mary was quietly turning the world on its head by sitting at the Lord's feet. So when I realized that made me look again at what was really upsetting Martha. And we are told that she was unsettled. She wasn't simply angry that Mary was doing nothing while she was doing all the hard work. She was unsettled. Perhaps she was a little scared and confused about what she saw was happening in her own home. Because Martha was not simply going to Jesus and asking for help. She says, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." What Martha is actually saying is, "Jesus, Mary, you're making me upset. I don't know what's going on. This isn't how life is supposed to be. Please behave in a way that I expect you to, in a way that makes sense to me. I'm confused." Because she lived in a male-dominated society, and that was the only life she'd known. And suddenly, everything that she thought she understood is being turned upside down in her own home. Of course, Jesus is no stranger to shaking things up. Through his teachings and through his miracles, no one who encountered him remained unmoved. Some people that met Jesus found themselves actually believing that he was the Messiah, the promised one that they've been waiting for so long. Others, well, they didn't quite know what to think. But they were nonetheless overwhelmed by fear and amazement. You couldn't not respond to Jesus. And then there were others. Those who sought his life. Those who harbored resentment and bitterness because Jesus came in and he swept everything that they had known away, threatened to undermine everything they believed in, everything they thought they understood. Jesus was no stranger to shaking things up. In Martha and Mary's house, by letting Mary sit at his feet, Jesus was ignoring the traditional role of women. He was encouraging her to think for herself, to learn, to come to her own conclusions. He was stating that Mary shouldn't be limited by what society believed she should do or shouldn't do. She should be allowed the freedom to grow and develop her skills and abilities, to discover who she is and what she might do. And in this instance, what she deemed best was to grow in discipleship, to discover what that would mean for her life. But before we go and dismiss Martha out of hand and think that all she has to teach us is what not to do in this situation, it is important to remember that Jesus always stressed to his followers the importance of service. Because love and service will always go hand in hand. We see it in Jesus' miracles, in his loving and teaching, in teaching us that we should love our enemies as we should love ourselves, in his treatment of the poor and the outcast, the unlovely in the world, in calling his disciples to be workers in the harvest field, and in warning them of the cost of discipleship. So Jesus didn't say that what Mary was doing was wrong. He was saying it's not unimportant, because if he said that, that would go against everything else that he taught. What he was saying was there is something in this instant even more important. Being a disciple, learning the truth about God's kingdom, learning the truth of what Jesus came to do, who he is, what he has to offer us, what only he can offer. That's what's more important. Getting our focus right. Jesus must be and always must be the foremost important, the center of our attention. And perhaps sometimes, probably more than we actually care to believe, that means we need to stop. We need to quiet our hearts and minds and sit at his feet and listen. So what does that mean for our discipleship? Well, the story of Martha and Mary is often used as a contrast between doing and being. Jesus told Martha that Mary had chosen wisely in sitting at his feet, rather than busying herself about the house as she herself had chosen to do. Of course, as my little illustration shows, we can't simply go through life not doing anything. There is a simple, certain amount of stuff that simply has to be done. But the big challenge is, how do we get that balance right? Right. If I go back to my seesaw a second. If anybody wants to come and help from the back. Oh, there we go, Millie. Right. Let's try and make the balance right. Okay. So we'll put some God stuff on the other side. So there's my cross that sits on my desk to help me reflect. You can lie it down on there. Okay. And then I've got a couple of books to read. Some Christian books to read. I've got some Christian music, some CDs there. Stick that on the side. Christian video. Look, there you go. Stories that we're watching at the moment. And, of course, the Bible. There we go. Has that balanced it? No. Okay. No, it's not quite balanced. Well, yeah, you might have it. Perhaps I'm actually thinking about this all wrong. Rather than just trying to think, okay, do these things and that'll balance my life out. Rather than trying to offset all the stuff I do with my doing church, perhaps what I should actually do is mix things up a bit. So should we see if we can get it balanced? Let's swap some of this stuff to that side, some of that stuff to this side. That's a heavy one. Put that over there. Put some stuff in the middle as well. Okay, put that one there. Okay, right. Oh, no, that one's a bit heavy, isn't it? Let's put that in the middle. There we go. Hey, we're getting better. That's not bad actually now, is it? We've got that pretty balance. Thank you very much, Millie. Yeah, well, it's not going to be perfect. That's pretty good. Thank you very much. Shall we give Millie a round of applause for helping me with that? So what I actually did, rather than actually trying to say, right, this is the spiritual stuff, this is the non-spiritual stuff, this bit is God's, and this bit is mine, we're actually trying to bring God into the everyday, make him and all that he is the center of our focus, to actually balance things so that we're looking at things with a different perspective. Rather than breaking up our lives into separate parts, all our life focuses and centers on Jesus, bringing him into the everyday. Now, the little domestic scene that we read about in Luke's gospel actually comes immediately after the story of the Good Samaritan. If you flick back in chapter 10, you'll see the parable of the Good Samaritan comes immediately before what we read about. And this parable, clearly that was too exciting. This parable begins with an expert of the law coming and asks Jesus a question. And he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And the expert says this in verse 27. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So then if we think again to our story of Martha and Mary, what we see is Mary living out the first part of that commandment, choosing to love the Lord with all her heart, her soul, her mind, her strength, and her body. And in the story, the parable of the Good Samaritan, what we see is living out the second part of that commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself. To the expert in the law that Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan, he says, now go and do likewise. In other words, get out there and do the stuff that disciples do. In the story of Martha and Mary, Jesus praises Mary just for sitting at his feet. In other words, for being a disciple, a learner. Now, it's not that one is wrong and one is right. They are both right. Both are essential elements of making, growing, and being disciples. Both are ideas that turn the world upside down. In Jesus' day, Samaritans were despised. They were to be avoided. In Jesus' day, women could not be disciples or thinkers. They weren't to interact with men outside their own family, and they certainly weren't to sit at a rabbi's feet while there was housework and cooking that needed to be prepared. Neither the Good Samaritan nor Mary played by the rules, and Jesus commended them for it. Because we know that the rules of God and the rules of men, they're not the same. There is an equality, a fairness, a justice in the kingdom of God that simply isn't here in this world today. Our challenge as disciples is to begin to work and bring about that justice, that respect, that equality. So in the places that we are, in our homes, our families, the workplaces, our communities, We are to act with consideration and respect towards others. And we are to act, to stand up and speak out if we don't see that happening, in order to try and safeguard that respect and consideration for others. Now, of course, we can't do any of this in our own strength. In fact, what Martha and Mary teach us is that serving Jesus is not just about doing stuff, it's about listening to him, being equipped by him, being grown up and built in him, allowing him into the ordinary and the everyday so that he can shape us and challenge us and change us and perhaps move us on to new things. Sometimes everything that we get involved in church ministry, whether it's our outreach into the community with food bank and family pack, whether it's a membership of a home group or a PCC committee, whether it's leading worship or whatever other part we play in the life of the church, sometimes these things can actually get in the way and prevent us from some more important endeavours, such as listening to God's word, hearing God's word, allowing God's word to permeate our hearts and minds so that he can teach us and grow us into people who reflect his son. Important endeavours such as sitting down at his feet, giving ourselves time and space to listen to Jesus. This is not the only time that we meet Martha and Mary. We meet them and their brother Lazarus in John's Gospel. And on that occasion, Lazarus has died. And when Jesus arrives, it is Mary who stays at home and is mourning. And it is Martha that rushes to meet and confront with Jesus. During their conversation, Jesus asks Martha this question. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Martha has clearly taken Jesus' gentle reprimand to heart. She has learned that there really is only one thing that truly matters. She has listened, she has trusted, she has believed. What will we do? Let's pray. Lord, we praise you for your goodness, your power, and for your glory. We thank you for being so patient with us in our weakness and for understanding our doubts and our fears. We thank you for the ordinary people that you met with and whose lives were changed in consequence. And we praise you that in following you, their lives were made extraordinary, even in the everyday. We thank you that in your word and through your word, we can share their confusion, their mistakes, their misunderstandings, and seeing them changed by you, we too are changed. We thank you for the story of Martha and Mary, for your gentle response to their choices and the lasting effect on their lives. We thank you for all who have helped us to know you, whose words and deeds have made you so real to us. Help us to listen to you more deeply, to shift our focus in your direction so that our lives speak of your love, and little by little, you can use us to turn the world upside down. In your name we pray. Amen. And let's continue in prayer now as we give to the Lord all the things that are on our hearts and our minds. So, Father God, we thank you for our church here at Christ Church. And we ask that you will help us to grow closer to one another and together that we might grow closer to you. Let's think of the people sitting on either side of us, in front of us, behind us, and ask that God will be especially close to them. We also remember those people who are with us today, perhaps through illness, or perhaps they're away on holiday. Let's remember them in our own prayers now. Father God, we thank you for the town where we live, and we ask that you will help us to spread your love to our friends and our neighbours. And let's think of one or two particular friends and ask that God will help us to tell them the good news. Father God, we thank you for the time that we've spent together this morning, and we ask that you will be with us throughout the rest of the day and throughout the week ahead. Let's think for a moment of those things that we're going to do today and tomorrow and into the week, and invite Jesus to be in the center of all those activities, to bless what we do because we do it in his name. Lord, thank you that you listen to all our prayers, spoken and unspoken. Amen.